all these different occupations that you can get into. And so what's so attractive to me is that you go to school for a year, you're not starving for 5 years. And then if you go out and get a master's, a PhD, you're starving for another 2 to 4 more years. Right. I mean, you're literally geared up, ready to go, have a phenomenal education, and you're applying it. I mean, you're literally getting paid to play and learn within a year. And I just think it's such a fascinating opportunity. I think it's going to be very more and more embraced and accepted as a smart way to go for a lot of people.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Quick disclaimer, in last week's episode, I promised a special announcement for this week, and that has been postponed for another 2 weeks, and then you'll hear the recording. It was a great recording with Tammy and I now a couple months ago of a very special announcement. So that is 2 weeks out. Now, it sounds like the actor Tom Hanks, which I think is a great movie, Money Pit, that came out in the 80s, where he's asking the contractor, when will this get done? And it's 2 weeks. When will I get the permit? It says 2 weeks. When will the house get done? 2 weeks. So it sounds like the Money Pit. However, in 2 weeks, we will have the episode released no matter what with a very special announcement. So I'm really happy to have today's guest on, Jim Beloga, very sharp man. And I think it's a great discussion about career and technical education. Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast. I'm excited. I have a special guest on. His name's Jim Beloga, and he's the president and CEO of Porter & Chesser Institute and YTI Career Institute. Jim, thanks for coming on.
Ken, thanks for the opportunity.
So I'm excited. I was out in Houston, Texas. I think, my gosh, time has folded. I think it was over 4 weeks ago now. Jim, I enjoyed the financial training in Houston, just surrounded by brilliant minds and people learning the industry as well. But I knew I had some accountants in the house right next to me. So I thrive working with engineers and accountants. And I knew when I saw a bunch of spreadsheets on your laptop next to me, oh yeah, he's got to be a CPA. And so I'll give everyone a little bit of a background. We're going to talk about career and technical education. I talked about the cost of higher education several weeks ago on one of the previous episodes, and that college is a very expensive place to figure out what you want to do. And I think what's been overlooked for quite some time are these technical schools and education where you can get a phenomenal education for a fraction of the cost. And within a year or two, you're already out and running, creating a lot of value for the community, doing a lot of good work, and getting paid very well. And so a little bit about Jim's background. Well, we'll just, you're a CPA. You have a lot of history. I mean, Bachelor of Science degree in accounting. Is there a master's thrown in there too? Chief Operating Officer? I'll have the whole bio. I mean, you have a very impressive background. You obviously understand accounting and money. And now you're president, and you've been president and CEO of Porter & Chesser Institute and YTI Career Institute for how long now? You've been
working? Since 2012.
Okay. So you've got a fair amount of experience. Great.
Right.
So for today's show, please educate, because we had a great little side conversation. Oh my gosh, this is all good. We just got to save it for the show. Talk about what Porter & Chesser Institute does, YTI Career Institute, the value they create for a different version of higher education. If you could talk about a little bit of that background, and also just, I mean, in during this conversation, we'll learn a little bit more about you as well. But and we had some really fun side conversations in Houston as well. So thank you. That was a lot of fun. And so, Jim, thanks for coming on. But yeah, if you can let everyone listening to the show educate people what the career and technical education is about, kind of what people think it is and what it really is and how it could be create a lot of value for people.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Ken. Great question. And I think the easiest way to really sort of create a picture for your listeners about the programs that we offer and where maybe their son or daughter or family member could do some more research or find some more information out is sort of listen to the programs that we offer. And again, a lot of during the heat of COVID and during the shutdowns, you know, a lot of the programs that I'm going to talk about, the actual jobs that our students get in the local communities were deemed to be essential by many of the governors. So again, it's really the professions or the occupations that help run the country each and every day. So with regards to Porter and Chester Institute, we've been around for 75 years providing career and technical education. And generally what that means is that for students who are graduating from high school, they may make a decision to either go to the traditional route to a public or a private four-year institution, or the same in a two-year institution, or they might consider, you know, technical education, career and technical education. So the programs that we offer in our New England campus. So let me just talk a little bit about Porter and Chester Institute. We have three campuses located in Massachusetts. So we cover Eastern Mass, Central Mass, and Western Mass. We also have six campuses in Connecticut covering our Enfield campus, our Rocky Hill campus, which is just south of Hartford, Connecticut, the capital part of Connecticut. We have a campus in New London, Emden, Rocky Hill, Stratford, now Bridgeport, Waterbury. And we also, in these campuses, offer 11 programs. So first, if someone's interested in cars, we have an automotive technician program. If you're interested in really working with your hands and building things or fixing things, we have a number of skilled trades. So for example, we have an electrical program. So if you want to become an electrician or an HVAC technician, or a electronics technician, or a plumber, we have programs that are generally about a year in length that students can attend. We also have some programs around technology, computer and network technology, computer-aided drafting and design. We do actually have a cosmetology program. Believe it or not, I think it's going to be one of those professions that AI is never going to be able to automate. I think it would be awkward to go and get your hair done or your nails done by a machine.
Like
a robot. So it's not to say that it can't happen, but I just think that it's one of those things that I think folks will always rely on an individual to do that for them. And then we've got programs in the healthcare arena around dental assistants or medical assistants, as well as practical nurses. And we do have another school that we own that's based in Pennsylvania called YTI Career Institute. In that state, we do offer about 15 programs. And I'll sort of just list through those as well. Again, on the skilled trade side, HVAC, electronics, electrician. We also have on the technology side, computer-aided drafting design, as well as computer and data management. On the healthcare side, dental assisting, medical assisting, health information management, medical billing and coding, respiratory therapy, and veterinary technicians or veterinary nurses. And then we do have a culinary school. So we actually train folks to become chefs, as well as a pastry program, pastry chefs as well. And then lastly, we have a business operations management program. And in Pennsylvania, we offer programs that are 20 months in length, and the student would get a degree, an associate's degree. That would be their credential. And the other programs that are shorter in length, generally a student would get a post-secondary diploma, or some people would call it a certificate.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what typically, we know how important opportunity cost is, right?
And yeah.
That opportunity cost, and that's money, that's time, time value of money. And that's just one thing we can never get back is our time. Your typical route, I mean, my gosh, it was somehow I turned my four-year education, get my Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering and Mechanical. It didn't take me 4 years. It took me 5 years. But, you know, and then going back at my civil, that was a two-year journey. What is your typical time commitment for students coming in? It's like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to be a welder. I want to become an electrician. And boy, am I going to talk about the need we have for all of that right now. I mean,
yeah,
desired skill set. But what is someone, a new student, what are they looking at commitment-wise, time-wise, and financially? Is this a one-year, two-year? What's mm-hmm. the norm?
Yeah, I mean, many of our programs are on the shorter side. I would say that some of the programs are as short as 10 months in length. So our dental assisting program is as short as 10 months. We also, most of our skilled trades are 12 months. So, let's just say that you're a high school student and you graduate in May or June. You know, we generally start classes July. We are moving that to August now. So give students a little bit more time to get things
get
sorted out.
2 months to taste freedom.
Yeah. Two months to enjoy the summer. You know, we're generally starting classes in, you know, August and then in October for those students who want to enjoy the whole summer. But we start classes 5 times a year. And so in terms of the return on time, the opportunity cost there, like I said, I mean, our programs are 12 months in length. So you graduate, let's just say you're 18 years old. You spend a year with us. Our main focus is to get you educated and trained in your vocation, and then help you get employed so that, you know, by the time you're 19, you're out and working in a career in a field that you enjoy, beginning as an entry level employee. And the cost of our programs, on the lower side are in the low 20s. If you wanted to become an electrician or a plumber, and you're probably looking more like $30,000 to do that in a year's time. You know, and I would say that some of the longer programs that will take 20 months, some of the degree programs that I talked about, like respiratory therapy or veterinary technician or a culinary program, I mean, those programs are in the, I would say, into the mid to maybe high 30s. And again, those programs would be done in 20 months.
Now, someone says, hey, you know, I don't want to go the traditional path. I definitely, you know, I love being hands-on, you know, people I know, friends, clients, just the idea of being behind a desk all day is prison to them.
You know, sure.
They want to be out. They want to be pulling wire. They want to be electricians. They want to be working with pipes and plumbing. They just want to be out in the field. I mean, that's living life. Fixing cars, you know, fixing boats. Boy, do I, I'll tell you all the things I crave. I crave great HVAC people. That's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Right. In our area, in the Reno Tahoe area, plumbers, electricians, I mean, yeah, just all of it. Like there's just such a glut. And I'm not to attack the political science majors out there. I don't need any poli sci major. I need people to get out there and have this team around me as subcontractors that are going to show up on time, that are specialists and experts, not hacks, experts in their craft, and get it done right the first time and do it at an extraordinary level. And it's just, there is such a glut for that. It's such a need. And I see what I get charged for plumbing. And that's like, it's a pretty profitable career being in the trades.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's and if you think about it, we're all about providing hands-on training for our students. With COVID, we've moved to a hybrid model. So students will spend their lecture time or classroom time online. Mm-hmm. So again, that saves them time and money traveling to and from our campus every day. And then they generally spend 2 to 3 days a week on our campus, practically applying what they've learned and building those tangible skills in our industry modeled labs. So, you know, when students come to our campuses, we've worked with our program advisory committee members, you know, to design real life industry modeled work environments so that, you know, they're going to see the same equipment in our school that they're going to see when they're on their first day on the job. So when you walk into a dental lab, you know, they're going to know how to, help the dentist with all of the related tools in the dental office. They're going to know how to operate the dental chair. They're going to know how to operate the X-ray machines, whether they're digital or analog. Same thing goes for, you know, an electrician or an HVAC technician or an automotive tech. I mean, we have full actively engaged automotive repair shops. So students are, you know, driving cars in, putting them on a lift, diagnosing the car, using a scan tool. So it's, you know, we used to suggest to prospective students, it's more like coming to work than it is going to school, because again, there is a high degree of hands-on training that we provide. And, we take great pride in doing that. And I think students who, articulated, who don't necessarily want to be behind a desk or in a classroom per se for a long period of time, and you have to have some classroom time because you do have to learn the theory as to, you know, how things all work. But then being able to go out and practically apply it and show up in the work, you know, into the workforce with tangible skills. We have employers who contact us, our career services team, daily. The demand right now for folks who have tangible skills, you know, where they can go onto a job or go work for an employer and day one They're not going to be an expert, but they're going to know enough that they can actually help that employer build, maintain, and grow their businesses.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, I mean, just all the technologies out there. I mean, manufacturing, the CNC machines. I mean, people just don't wake up knowing how to, I mean, to cut these things out of aluminum block. I mean, you need to go program these CNC machines for days, maybe weeks. And it's like, there's such a skill set and there's such a need for it. And also, I mean, very rewarding. I could tell you, I worked for the telephone company for almost 5 years. You see what these guys can do out in the field. The amount of education that happens in-house at these old Nevada, you know, these Bell companies,
sure,
is unreal. And the hands-on applications, and you can tell IT guys that go out on their own down the road, you can tell if they have Bell Laboratory or AT&T or Pacific Bell, some type of background, because their inside wire work is phenomenal. How everything's laid out. It's so precise. Right. It's so beautiful. And for me, who I'm not a plumber, but our house seems to just keep, I fix one thing and something else breaks. And I got so much joy a couple of weeks ago putting in my a P-trap on my sink because I couldn't get a plumber to come out for weeks.
Right.
Not having a sink. But out of curiosity, like when someone comes on board, it's like, you know, I definitely, like this resonates for someone listening to the show or people who are going to graduate. It's like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to get into the automotive industry. I want to learn or all of it, right? The tech, something that's technical and hands-on. What does the consulting or onboarding process look like? I mean, does someone sit down, a counselor, help figure out what would be something that really resonates, explain what the cost and commitment would be, help with finances, and also give a good guide? It's like, hey, because you mentioned earlier, you help them find a career as well. So you're not just giving the education, like the theory behind it conceptually, but also hands-on. It also sounds like you're teeing them up to work with a great employer right after they graduate.
Yeah, no, it's really, yeah, it's from the beginning to the end in terms of the student life cycle for us. So generally, students will do some research online. There's a lot of information online. With COVID, we've moved a lot of our enrollment processes online so that we're trying to make it more convenient for the student. Because depending on where you live in the country, I think the COVID restrictions are a little bit different. And so we've tried to build a school that could be pandemic resistant. And so we are communicating with our students either through text, email, or the phone. We do some Zoom calls with them. And again, we let them know that we're here to help them. Whatever questions they have, we'll answer them for them. But a lot of that information is available either on our website or in some of the emailing and texting that we do send to them once they express an interest in a program. And our school is nationally accredited. So that affords us the ability to participate in the federal student aid program. So that's where students, depending on, you know, where they fall in terms of their economic background, will end up with being able to participate in the direct loan program, as well as possibly qualifying for a Pell Grant. So again, based on the student and the family's expected family contribution number, the EFC, that'll sort of drive where their federal financial aid will come from. And then there's other avenues in terms of some private lenders and some institutional grants that we provide to the students to help them finance their investment. And then obviously there are some families that do pay cash. You know, a lot of that information is available online, actively, you know, promoting the school and what we do. So students, you know, if they were to do a Google search or just go to our websites, www.porterchester.edu or www.yti.edu, there's a plethora of information on our website about all the programs that we offer. And so again, we take great pride in providing, very good customer experience or customer service to students. So we'll spend as much time or as little time as they want going through that process.
Yeah. Someone, like, do they have an idea? It's like, hey, I really want to work on marine engines, or I really want to work on auto, or I really want to become a welder. Of course, I'm listing all the things that I would love to have the time to learn. Like, I always want to become a certified welder.
Right.
I mean, I love it. I love the fabrication. I love the hands-on. It's one thing to design things on paper and on CAD. It's another to put it in, to put it into an existence. It's such a great skill set. And I just so admire seeing all that kind of great work. Electrician. Wouldn't it be nice to, to be just do phenomenal, all of it, right? So when someone says they call, they want, they're looking, and maybe it's all on your websites, but it's like, hey, I really want to get in this occupation. And we'll just use welding as an example because it's something I'm fascinated by. I want to become a welder. What is that going to, here's my commitment, 25, 30 grand. It's going to take a year of my time. What is that career going to pay me? What is that? What's a welder going to get paid on average? Do you have those numbers to throw out to potential students
so
they get an idea? Because they got to pay it back. They got to pay back that education.
Right, right. Yeah, and I would just say it, you know, it really depends on where they're at in the country and really where is the labor market. One of the resources that the government provides to all of us is the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And I would suggest that, you know, any prospective students and the families go check that out. Again, it's the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I believe it's BLS.gov. You can look up on ONET. You can look up all of the careers, and you know. And again, I think you know when you talk to a school as well. I mean, you can reach out to a school and say to them, you know, generally, what are the graduates you know making when they start? You know, an approximate range. And again, it really depends on where you're at in the country and what kind of demand exists in that local marketplace. Because again. You know, a lot of the career and technical education institutions are, you know, generally, you know, in a local community, and you know, and I would just simply say that across the country, the wage rates will be, you know, very different. So the coasts are generally more expensive. The middle part of the country a bit more reasonable, and that's what I would encourage folks to go do. But, you know, it's not, I mean, you know, again, if you look at just what we're hearing and seeing in the news these days, you know, for example, in terms of the nursing, you know, we have a practical nursing program. You know, I've seen where, you know, some hospitals are now having to reduce the amount of hours that are open because there's not enough, you know, in their cases, registered nurses. You know, wages are starting to, you know, to move up in a meaningful way. You know, and again, I would just simply say that, you know, sort of learning welding maybe down in the Texas coastline, you know, depending on the demand right now for oil and for welders on rigs, you know, I mean, that's gonna sort of move around. But again, I think that what I would encourage your listeners to do is do a little bit of research on, you know, on those websites I've talked about. And then I would say that from my own experience, you know, I've talked to some of our automotive technicians. I've talked to some of our graduates. You know, there's a few of them that I've met in a local BMW dealership. You know, they're making six figures. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. They, you know, they've had to work, you know, after they graduated, they've had to go and do some additional training and get some additional education. You know, and I think in this day and age, you know, the days of sort of getting your degree and being done are over, right? I mean, it's really, we all have to subscribe to, you know, continuous lifetime learning because technology is changing, you know, I think our lives, you know, every day. And, you know, and I would say that across, you know, all of the occupations that we have educational programs for, you know, there's technology being introduced in medical offices, dental offices, HVAC equipment, you know, and electrical equipment and, you know, low voltage or electronic equipment. I mean, the cars, for example, when I started my career at Porter and Chester Institute about 13 years ago, you know, probably 30% of a car consisted of electronic circuitry. You know, today it's like 85%. And, you know, we have hybrid and we have EV cars. So, and that's a relatively short period of time. I mean, call it a decade and look at the advancements that have taken place, you know, just in the automotive industry and more to come. You know, it's interesting that you've talked constantly being approached by, you know, different employers. And so we are looking at starting a welding program. We are looking at possibly starting a diesel program and, you know, and a few other programs out there. You know, so, you know, again, we're reacting to really the local employer demand. And, you know, and along the way, we've had a number of very large, I'd say Fortune, 500 type companies come to us and ask to help, train their employees, and largely, and some of that's been because, some of their better employees have been graduates of our schools, and they want to make sure that they can, provide that education and training to some of the other employees that may not have had that. So, I think it's an interesting time for career and technical education. I think it's a very viable path. I think that in terms of the stigma historically of that might have existed, where somebody might not have been overly excited about their son or daughter becoming a plumber or an electrician, or a practical nurse, or any of the professions that we offer. I think, I think folks are looking at the cost and the time and starting to weigh those decisions as well as the employment opportunities.
Well, just the value. I mean, for me, I enjoy having people when they come to the skill set and education to go work. Every day I wake up craving to learn more and more. Right. I mean, so there's just, I realize every day there's just so much I'm ignorant on, and having a skilled plumber come out and just seeing great work done, a skilled welder, sharp, well-trained HVAC, which unfortunately, right, in my experience in the Reno Tahoe, there's some really good ones, but a lot of them just stay to the commercial side because there's not enough money in the residential, and the residential too often, a lot of them just kind of plug and chug. They kind of wing it. And with this demand to have more and more efficiency to these homes, that you can't be complacent in any of these industries anymore. And to your point, these vehicles, they're supercomputers on wheels. So we're constantly learning, constantly evolving. And I just think all these different occupations that you can get into, and so what's so attractive to me is that you go to school for a year, you're not starving for 5 years. And then if you go out and get a master's, a PhD, you're starving for another 2 to 4 more years. Right. I mean, you're literally geared up, ready to go, have a phenomenal education, and you're applying it. I mean, you're literally getting paid to play and learn within a year. And I just think it's such a fascinating opportunity. And I think it's going to be very more and more embraced and accepted as a smart way to go for a lot of people. And also, I think Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs,
sure,
he's been a huge proponent of the career and technical education, because it's just so needed. It's so important.
And it's
awesome.
I agree. I mean, Mike's been a big advocate, of really skilled trades and the gap that exists. And, and I think that, I think for, just listening to you talk, I mean, it's interesting because, again, I love actually getting something accomplished. I love sort of building something or fixing something and knowing that I was able to do that. And, it's over the years, it's been, I've been very fortunate, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have all these skilled tradespeople around me. And, we had a very bad snowstorm, probably 10 years ago in October. I don't know if you remember that, but we ended up with like a couple feet of snow in October. The leaves were still on the trees. We had massive power outages. I remember my family like leaving me a gas generator in my garage and saying, we're leaving, going somewhere else where we can, have power and heat and everything else. And I remember walking to one of the HVAC technicians, one of our instructors, and said, this is what I got. Can you help me? And he basically, drew out a diagram, gave me a very simple connect the dot schematic. I followed it to a T. I had a neighbor holding a flashlight for me because I had no lights in my house in my basement. And he was actually thoroughly impressed when, I followed all the instructions and then flipped the switch and everything came on. He was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So I think there's a lot of intrinsic value, I think to an individual, in a sense of accomplishment, when you can actually build something or service something, or fix something. I mean, I think there's a lot of, intrinsic self-worth that, I think in terms of taking some pride in a job well done, it goes a long way. I mean, and I think if you really, enjoy that, it makes your work enjoyable. Right. I mean, and I think to your point about lifelong learning and learning more, often talk to some of the students, and you know, if they're a plumber, an electrician, or HVAC technician, you know, I simply say to them, look, you know, you're getting the core skills right here. You're going to go in the field. You're going to see a lot of, you know, really cool things. And, you know, someday you may want to go start your business. And, you know, and I've sort of said to them, hey, look, you know, should probably take some business courses online, you know, do it, you know, on the nights or the weekends. I said, you have to, you know, think that your education doesn't stop. You know, and I said, you know, and again, I said, the rate of change that's happening in some of these areas, like, you know, like in HVAC, for example, I mean, you know, there's new filtration systems coming out, you know, there's a lot of things that are actually happening, you know, and so you got to stay on your game as well in terms of product knowledge and service knowledge. But, you know, if you ultimately want to go out and start your business, I mean, those are the kinds of things that you can go take an online course and, you know, learn how to, you know, maybe do accounting or learn how to manage people or, you know, get some, you know, some foundational knowledge there that, that helps you, you know, sort of go out and create your own business. And I think a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, if you've got some entrepreneurial spirit to you, you learn, you know, you learn a skilled trade and then you, you get a little bit more education and you go start a business.
Well, eventually, you know, I think as humans, we're meant to move, we're meant to produce. I think what makes this nation so strong is, well, a lot of things, but also just the freedom to express ourselves still and share and communicate and argue. And this is a very special nation. I mean, and that's not to discount all the other nations. It's just, I've been born and raised in the U.S. I actually grew up in New Jersey. And it's kind of funny. I'm glad you survived and were able to follow the schematic to survive that winter. I remember growing up in Morristown, New Jersey, and then moving out here halfway through high school into the Lake Tahoe area. I mean, we get an inch in Jersey and it shut down all the school systems. And we have a 3-foot storm coming in, which is like, and we still had school. Like, what the hell? So I was like, it's just business as usual up at Lake Tahoe. And but yeah, I mean, I love producing and I love consuming. And I think this pivot of just being a nation of consumption is changing rapidly. And I think we're going to be a very strong producing nation again in many ways. We've got a taste of that in the energy sector. And that's a little bit of a pause button, but it'll come back. And everywhere else, manufacturing, the semiconductors, were massive production that's coming into Arizona in the next couple of years, but we got a 2-year lag. I mean, really, COVID exposed a lot of things that the U.S., we got caught with our pants down. It's like, hey, maybe we should start bringing this stuff back in-house where we have a lot of control. We're positioned in this world in a very unique geology-wise, our location, the way our border is surrounded by water, a lot of brilliant minds. Americans have an incredible work ethic. We really do. And so, and we're good at consuming and we're good at producing. And I'm so grateful for what you do at Porter Chester and YTI. And thank you for coming on. And and thank you for our conversations in Houston. It's always nice having the side chats and just getting to learn from you and learn from others and share as well. And so Jim, just we'll conclude today. Today's an awesome episode. So Jim Beloga, thank you so much. President and CEO of Porter and Chester Institute and YTI Career Institute. Thank you for what you're doing for the community and helping everyone get some phenomenal careers and a very good education rapidly. So they're out there getting paid to learn and have fun. And what's the best way for listeners to learn more about Porter Chester? Just we'll put the websites up. Any other ways for people to reach out to you?
Yeah, that's probably the best thing is that, go to www.porterchester.edu or www.yti.edu. And if folks do have questions, I mean, I'm more than willing to answer questions. And I mean, I'll give you my email. It's the letter J, my last name, Beloga, B as in boy, O-L-O-G-A, at porterchester.com. And be more than happy to take any of your listeners' email questions, and if I can't answer them, I'll direct them to a person, you know, on my team that'll be able to help them out.
Yeah, I was going to say, as CEO and president, I'm sure you have a phenomenal team around you that can help.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So, Jim, thank you so much for coming on. And also, by the way, I always forget to plug my own show. I mean, if anyone's new to the Engineer Finance Podcast, and you want to learn more about me and what I do, you can always go to my website, engineerfinance.com. And if you need help with anything, I really love helping listeners of the show, point you in the right direction, help you take the next step. And so I make myself pretty readily available for a quick 15-minute phone call and help point you in the right direction and introduce you to whoever can help you do what you want to accomplish. Jim, thank you so much for coming on. And I look forward to seeing you sometime soon in the near future.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, Ken. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Take care. And I look forward to next week's episode, guys. Thank you.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.